Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb Monday edition. We give you the good, the bad, and the dumb from the weekend to set your week right. What is the good of the day?
You know what happens when you miss a day?
What?
You're inundated with good.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many good stories that I found. And then, you know, I even had a listener send me a story.
Really?
Yeah.
Listener, awesome.
Listener Philip sent me a story. So, you know what? I'll honor Philip real quick.
Okay.
And because he said, you know, this isn't the good of the day. I think he threatened to sue us. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I didn't read the whole tweet that he sent me. But I'll bring this up for him. Was Build-A-Bear stepped up big time because a 4-year-old child lost a rainbow sparkle bear.
Oh, okay.
And you know, with Build-A-Bear, you can put sounds into.
I like the way you say, as you know.
You've been to Build-A-Bear. Don't deny it.
My wife has been to Build-A-Bear.
You've stood outside holding the bag.
My wife's been to Build-A-Bear, but I've never seen the actual building of a bear in a Build-A-Bear.
Oh, that's fun. You should go Build-A-Bear sometime.
I got no more little kids anymore.
No, I'm saying for you.
Oh, for me, I should get my own?
Yeah, why not?
All right, why not?
But anyways, one of the things you can do is you can put sound inside the bear, right?
Oh, you can, okay.
And, you know, you can make like a back, if whatever, when Star Wars was popular, you can make like a Chewbacca bear, a bear that kind of looked like Chewbacca, and you push the little button that was on the inside, and it roared or howled like Chewbacca. One of the things they have been doing now is that you can customize the sounds, and inside this one bear was his late mother's heartbeat.
Oh, okay.
So he had lost that bear, but fortunately for Build-A-Bear, they still had the audio recording of that sound.
No kidding.
So they were able to make this child a new bear, and
they just kept it.
It was still on their files. I don't think they keep them forever, but it was still just long enough that they, you know, was still there, and they're like, here, you know, here's a new bear with your mother's heartbeat.
All right, can I? I don't mean to be the Grinch Scrooge of this story.
Oh, you can. I know where you're going with this.
Well, maybe. I hope you do. Why didn't the family have a copy of the heartbeat?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Right? Like, why did they have to rely on Build-A-Bear's
storage? I thought you were going another way.
Oh, okay.
Of, you know, are we, you know, is it 100% certain that this was the mother's
heart? Oh, yeah. But I'm like, why don't you have that?
That's true. You know?
We deleted it off our file thinking we never needed it again.
Yep.
But that's really cool. That is good. Good for Build-A-Bear.
So I do have another good. I actually have two more goods, but I'm going to save one of them for tomorrow because, you know, we could have some fun with it. But this one I have to talk about now while it's still fresh in our mind.
Right.
And that was the coronation that occurred Saturday morning.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of it. My wife turned it on Saturday while I was making breakfast.
Okay.
So I was making breakfast for my wife and daughter, and she had it on.
See, I caught it late. I caught it after the king had already been crowned.
Started at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to a point, or I made it to a point where they started interviewing some of the guests. And I literally watched about 15, 20 minutes of it, and this one guest appeared. And I don't know why I found this so fascinating, but I do. The guest's name is Francis DeMoke. I don't know if I'm saying that last name correctly.
Right.
But he is the King's Champion. And the King's Champion role is all he's doing is he's carrying a flag that on this flag are the nations that the royal family reigns over. Right?
Okay.
Nothing out of the ordinary. But what I found fascinating with this guy is that his family has been doing it for 35 generations.
What?
So I don't know how many. Wow. I'm not going to say all the greats, great-grandfathers.
That's got to be 1,000 years, right? Am I doing the math correct?
His
700 years if it's 20 years?
His great-grandfather with like, you know, a lot of greats in front of it. Was the flag bearer or was the King's Champion for William the Conqueror, who reigned shortly after the Battle of Hastings in 1066.
Jeez Louise.
His father was the king's champion for Queen Elizabeth. I guess the queen's champion for Queen Elizabeth.
They never the family just never moved to Italy or the United States.
Oh my God. It's amazing to me that it's been this one family has been the king's champion since 1066.
So my big observation was this. So I love history. So I read historical books and whatnot. So I know that if you go back in time 500 years ago, just a random time, that the coronation of the king, that was a major deal. Like it's a major, like we are protected. This is our guy. He's protecting us. We, you know, the royalty will continue. They took it seriously. A sign from God. This was God bestowing a leader. When I saw Charles in his stuff, crown, cape, scepter.
Yeah.
He looked silly.
He did.
He looked silly. He looked like he was in a costume. It looked stupid. Well, and maybe I'm saying that as an American and we don't believe in that. And maybe there are still people in England who like they believe in the monarchy and they believe in the divine, you know, divine coronation of God to king. Maybe they still believe in that. But 500 years ago, people would have wept. I looked at him and like he looks like a circus clown. This looks dumb.
I was watching videos on TikTok or Twitter, and there was one guy who was passing out beers at the coronation.
Nice. That's
somebody
great.
Was interviewing. He's like, "Oh, you know, you got to have a couple of cold ones while you know through the coronation. You want one?
Yeah, why not?"
He turned to the reporter. Was like, "Hey, you want a beer?"
Sure.
That's what it's become, right?
It really is.
It was really just a festival. I was shocked to see that there were soccer games going on. I thought they were all going to be canceled or postponed.
I thought so too.
I mean, they canceled them or they postponed them from when the queen died. But not when the king's being coronated.
It just looked silly.
You know what else it looked? He looked really small.
Yeah, he did.
He looked really, didn't look kingly.
I know we're going long on this, so we're going to have to keep the bad number. I want to acknowledge, though, it's the last time I'm talking coronation, so I wanted to get this in. Because I looked up, I did hear a guy, they had a panel on one of the shows. I think my wife had it on CNN, so I want to give it credit. So they had this British panel, and they were all talking about it. And there was one guy that made a point, and it was such a good point that I rewound it to listen to it again. And that was, you got to give the man credit. It took him 75 years, but he got exactly what he wanted out of it. He had had an affair with that woman since in his 20s.
Yeah.
She was married to another man, and they had an affair, and he always envisioned a day where they would be king and queen of that country. Which, to him, it must have been like, it's going to take a lot. I got a lot of obstacles to overcome because they want me to marry this teenager. She's pretty, but that's not who I love. I love this woman. She's married. Now I'm going to be married, but someday the two of us are going to be king and queen of this country. It took until he was an old man, but he got exactly what he wanted.
It'll probably be a short reign.
Sure, right. It probably won't be long, but he got what he wanted. He finally became queen. He married that woman that he loved. Because people were saying that Diana, this is her day, she should have been the queen, that it should have been a long marriage that never broke up. She would have never been in that car with that other guy if they had never got divorced. Should have been her up there, but he got what he wanted. So in that, I raise a glass. Props, man. Props. Yeah. You never gave up on the dream, man. You never gave up on the dream.
And it is amazing. I was trying
to. You and Camilla now are royalty.
One of my sons came down. He was asking about it. I was like, so you know, they just were they elected? I mean, he didn't quite understand. I was like, no, they're just born into it. And you know, there was like they showed a quick picture of Harry, who was pretty much absent through the entire thing. And they're like, so he'll be king next? And I'm like, no. I said, honestly, it's his older brother. And then if dad dies and older brother dies, it goes to the son.
Yeah, you get screwed.
Not to the second born kid. He would have to go and murder that entire side of the family, which they did back in the day.
Which they did. Yeah, which they did.
They did back in the day. But I mean, now, you know, I guess that'd be frowned upon even though it's the royal history.
So again, maybe it's the red, white, and blue in me, but that it just he just looked dumb. He just looked stupid. He didn't look royal or prestigious.
He looked
kind of silly.
It was almost like that cloak needed to be taken in a little bit.
It just looked ridiculous.
The crown resized. It was just.
But yeah, I'm with you. It didn't have the same feeling amongst the.
Nah.
We don't dig coronations.
Nah.
We elect presidents and we kind of follow them, but we don't crown kings.
I mean, my kids ask me a good question. It's like, well, what does he do? And I'm like, I don't really know.
He does something, but I don't think he does.
I mean,
a lot.
I think they have a voice in parliament, but they don't have a deciding
voice. There was that soccer match where the crowd was chanting, "You can shove the coronation up your," right?
Yeah.
They were chanting that. That was kind of neat. So, anyway, we'll get the bad and the dumb from the weekend coming up, and then more on the, again, great games from the NBA. And what do we expect tonight in the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, which has not really gone the way people thought it would? We'll talk about that coming up as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. All right, we're continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb this morning here on Wake Up Call. So let's get to the bad of the day.
The bad of the day. Tony, you've been in this position. You've waited your whole entire life to buy a home.
Right.
And you finally buy a home. And you're settling in, and it's great. And you're outside walking your dog around, but your dog keeps, going off to this one part of the house. And just like sniffing and freaking out and always concerned, right?
Right.
So for this one homeowner in Colorado, she discovered that this dog would go over there and there were these two holes in the wall.
Uh-oh.
And she saw a snake in there.
Uh-oh.
And she saw another snake.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So long story short, it turns out that she had snakes living in her walls.
Oh, no. All around her walls?
And that some of them had been in there for at least 2 years. I don't know why.
How do you
that didn't pop up in the home? I don't know. She had to call a guy who came in, and he found up to 10 snakes living inside her walls.
So how do they determine that there's not... Without taking the house down, how do they determine that the house is snake clear?
I have no idea. I got maybe sonar.
They lure it or, you know.
You know, I
wouldn't. I'd move. I'd be like.
Burn it down.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, the great thing about it is that none of them are poisonous.
Oh, okay.
So they're
friendly, lovable.
There's the positive. But, yeah, I don't know how big the snakes were. I mean, I wouldn't want to find out. But he said some of them, because of their size, that's how you can tell they've been in there for 2 years.
I would find faulty electrical wiring and be like, I don't know what happened. House just blew up. I don't know what happened.
Fortunately, I had moved out all my stuff first. But I mean,
I say that, and I know them. I have friends who love snakes. They keep them as pets. They love them. They buy the frozen rats and feed them. And I say that as a guy who doesn't really like them. I'm not afraid of them, but I don't want them around. I don't want them in my walls.
No, I couldn't imagine.
No, thank you.
I mean,
oh boy,
have snake. I mean, have that many snakes up to
what's it feeding off of? What do they eat?
I guess spiders,
whatever
or,
little insects are in the house just normally.
Yeah, or maybe
I always wondered that with
out?
Indiana Jones. Do they just eat themselves? Remember in Indiana Jones, they open up that tomb and there's a bunch of snakes and they throw them down in the pit.
They probably eat each other.
They must eat each other because there's like, what are they eating off of? There's nothing in there. They're not feeding them on a regular basis. It was opened up for the first time. Hundreds of years.
But like this, I mean, you know, because they had been in there for 2 years. How did the inspection not find that? I guess you probably aren't looking forward to thinking about it. I mean, you're sitting in this room right now, or you're sitting in your room right now. Could there be a snake in the wall? I don't want you to have to burn down your house.
I don't want to know. I want to be ignorant of that fact. If there was a snake in my wall, I don't want to know. If I knew, it would just alter the way I thought of everything. First of all, I would have a big decision to make. Like, let's say a guy came to my house. He's like, hey, man, I found a snake in your wall. Would I tell my wife? Because if I told my wife we're moving to Montana.
Well, there'd be more snakes there.
Well, whatever. We'd be moving somewhere.
Fine. You got to guess move to the city.
I'm just picking a state off the top of my head. She'd be like, we're out. We're out of here. Bye. Like, I would just keep it quiet. Like,
and then the question does come. Do you burn the house down with your possessions in there?
Yeah. You just... Yo, I guess starting fresh. I'm going to live in a van.
Yeah, do you remove, like, the sentimental things? Like, you know, sure. The irreplaceable things. Like, well, I was moving it to storage anyways.
Right, right, right.
And how long do you wait until after you've moved said things to a storage unit? Do you wait a month, a couple of months before you burn it down?
Yeah, that's a good question. These are all on the table.
Yeah, I need to know.
Yeah. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. Have you ever heard of a town called Old Bridge, New Jersey?
No.
I guess it's, you know, people will say it's northern New Jersey, but I think it's more central New Jersey.
Okay.
Not 100% sure where in New Jersey it is, and that's not really what's important. But what is important is that a congressional candidate was walking in the area, and, you know, one of the things that she kept hearing about, you know, Old Bridge, New Jersey, which is her district that she was running for, is that, you know, there's been a lot of, like, dumping by the streams. You know, construction people are just dumping their waste there.
Right.
And so, you know, and everyone just kind of ignores that this has been going on. So she went to go investigate it, but she didn't find any construction vehicles. No, Tony, which are construction equipment and product and stuff. What she found was 500 pounds of pasta.
500 pounds of pasta?
500 pounds of spaghetti.
That's what people were dumping?
That's what one person was dumping.
So was it a restaurant?
What it turns out what it was, everyone thought it was a restaurant. 500 pounds, that's a lot of pasta.
It's a lot, right.
But what it turns out was that a retired veteran was cleaning out his parents' house, getting ready for it to be sold.
Right.
I think one parent died and the other one's moved into a home. So he was cleaning out the house. And what his guesstimate was that during COVID, they just stockpiled jars of marinara sauce and cooked a lot of pasta.
Oh, okay. And then, okay. So they were very nervous. So they said, this is an easy thing to make. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Okay.
But 500 pounds of
pasta. That's crazy.
I can't even imagine. Just walking through the woods one day and you see 500 pounds. I mean, it's just these tiny little piles. I mean, they're huge piles.
That's like a different level of hoarding. Don't
right.
you think?
Yeah. Yeah. God. I mean, do you keep it in Ziploc bags? How does it keep? I mean, I've had pasta.
Are you cooking it like halfway through and then you finish it in the pot they do in restaurants?
I mean, maybe that's it because that'll save better, right?
Right, you just
but 500
you cook
pounds.
It halfway, you put it in a bag, and then you just take it out and you just dump it in boiling water. So you're not cooking it from the dry part. You're cooking it from straight.
And that way it cooks much faster. You can get the product out there.
That's
because
what they do
I've tried to save cooked pasta before, but after a few days, green fuzz starts to
way
grow
earlier
on it.
Than I al dente. Yeah. My little Gordon Ramsay pasta advice. Wow, good old Old Bridge. 500 pounds
of
pasta.
500 pounds of pasta.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it looks edible. I mean, I'm looking at it, you know, you can see the photos of it. It's like, okay, well, you know, there's nothing growing on it.
Yeah, no, no.
I mean, it looks like you can, I mean, so I'm thinking, yeah, they did that, but still, I don't know. Maybe
well,
they
there
were
you
just
go.
Bored and every single day during COVID since they were locked in. Like, well, let's just keep making more pasta.
The good, the bad, and the dumb here on your Monday. I got one more dumb for you. So yesterday was the Miami Grand Prix.
Yep.
And the United States likes to do things big and bold. So they did a driver introduction where they used Will.i.am and LL Cool J.
Okay.
As they were introducing the drivers. And so they were also in cross promotion with Fast and Furious, the new Fast and Furious movie.
Are they both in it?
I don't know. I don't know. But Will.i.am had an orchestra that was playing his songs. I mean, an orchestra. And then the LL Cool J was introducing the drivers. Anyway, it was a big deal. Like they got to come out of a tunnel. Crowd would go crazy. They did it like a boxing kind of thing. They were talking about each driver. And then most of the drivers decided to complain about it because they didn't want to be in the hot sun in their driver outfits while it was baking and having to stand there. And I'm like, you know what? It's LL Cool J that's giving you an introduction. I know you're glamorous race car drivers. But how often can you say LL Cool J is introducing you to a crowd?
But
chill. It's just relax. It's fine. And there's Will I Am. He's helping out in the driver intro.
You know, the first thought comes to my mind?
Yeah.
Does someone like Max Verstappen even really know who LL Cool J
That's
is?
That's a good question. They're all young. They're all like 20-something year old. There's a couple of older guys, but they're all like young. They probably don't even know who they are.
I mean, my kids couldn't name an LL Cool J song.
That's a good point.
They would.
That
probably
might have been more like me going, hey, if LL Cool J ever introduced me for Radio Row, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Is that because I'm more familiar with his work? Yeah,
well,
they probably are like,
I don't even know. What if it was like the drummer of Bread?
Right. That's true. Yeah. Great point. If the drummer, you're right.
Name an actor or whatever, someone famous back in the
60s. If the bass player for the Animals was like, I would be like, okay, I guess that's a big deal. I guess that's cool.
Or if it's a star that's in Europe.
Yeah. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's the case.
It's a big star in England, like, you know, one of the guys who does the talk show host or something like that, like in the mornings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, this is a big deal. This is an honor. And you're like, okay.
They got a little bit of bad news this weekend at that race. That race did not sell out. You could buy tickets right up until start time. There was a little bit of a problem with that.
That's incredible.
That was the hottest ticket in sports last year. That was the big ticket. It was a big new
thing.
People loved it. It's hot down there, man. Where Miami Gardens, where the track or the football stadium is, probably.
Yeah,
it's not a glamorous place. It's not a place around South Beach. That's what I'm thinking.
Along the water.
It's not. You know, stadiums. They're not in the ritzy part of the area.
No,
where
they're
the land
not.
Is cheaper, and so it's not. It's not. It's like. You go about 20 minutes into the state of Florida, it's not on the beach.
I would picture Miami to be looking more like Monaco.
Me too. That's what I was thinking when they first announced it.